It's time for the Car Doctor on AM 950 WROL. Got a car question? Call us at 617-770-3030. That's 617-770-3030. Now, here's the Car Doctor, John Paul, on AM 950 WROL, the spirit of Boston.
And good Saturday morning, everyone, and welcome to the first program of the year 2020. What I read the other day, you're not supposed to just abbreviate checks and stuff with just 20?
Yeah, because they can put like 19 and 18. Well, not that.
What would that do? Other than the check would bounce.
Some check depends on when it was written. Oh. Some places still cash it. You go to those check cashing places and blah, blah, blah.
Well, anyway, welcome to the first program for 2020. We should be in a minute or so, I think, have Chris Russell with us from the Boston Auto Show. We made some arrangements earlier to talk with him. Not sure where he is. He's usually pretty timely in calling in. And
it is entirely possible that I missed the call because it doesn't actually ring and I wasn't looking at
the phone. Well, hopefully if he's there, he will call back. But we'll be talking to Chris Russell. And that means when Chris Russell, don't do it yet, but when Chris Russell calls in, that means we have tickets to give away for the auto show. And we've given away a bunch. And we've given away a bunch, and we'll give away some more, but not yet. We'll kind of figure it out from there, and see what we can do. It should be fun. It should be fun to do that because the Boston Auto Show is coming up. It's Martin Luther King weekend, that weekend, whatever that is, and I will be there, good Lord willing, on the Saturday. The Saturday of the auto show, because the Massachusetts Auto Dealers Association are running a contest for high school kids. They call it the Mass Auto Dealer Skills Competition, and I have been involved with automotive student skills competition for a long, long time, and this is one of those ones that hopefully we'll be able to. We'll be able to broadcast from and have a good time with, because it usually is a good time at those contests. So it's always fun to do that and see what's going on with that contest. So it is essentially the best of the high school kids from all over the place, and we get to see what the kids are up to, see what the teachers are up to. A lot of the teachers that we talk to, I've known for a long time, so it's always a good time talking with them. So we'll be broadcasting live from, and it's a little special area they have set aside, so it'll be a lot of fun. So we'll have fun with that coming up. And as promised, Chris Russell from the Boston Auto Show is with us. Chris, when you join us, all my listeners know is there's tickets to give away. I hate to say it.
Hey, I like that. I like that association. I want people to come see this show this year.
There's some really special stuff going to be at the show, right?
This show is going to be spectacular. And one of the reasons is we benefited in Boston because the Detroit show has moved to another season. They're going to be moving to June. So a lot of the vehicles that typically would be sent to Detroit are now being sent to Boston. So, for example, I can't wait for everyone to see the brand new Corvette Stingray.
Yeah, the Corvette Stingray, the closest it got to the East Coast was down at Motor Week down in Newport this year. They had a Stingray, but it was literally under a like Lexan box, and it was covered up most of the time, and you had to have a gold-plated press pass to go see it or something. So, but this is going to be the first time a lot of people are going to see it.
There were only like five handmade models, I had been told. So to be able to get one in Boston and not have it under plexiglass is going to be a lot of fun. Also, I just got a phone call from Ford the other day, and they've got that new Mach-E, which is the Mustang SUV, the electric. We're going to have that one too. So that's another vehicle that we're talking about. Now that will be the first SUV Mustang.
Yeah, and that is either thrilling people or infuriating people. You know, the people that say Mustang should not have four doors are the same people that probably said a Mustang shouldn't have been based on a Pinto. So.
And the other thing, we have some, usually we have a lot of big debuts East Coast debuts. Mm-hmm. Aston Martin's, the DBX, is going to be here.
Really?
That's a big deal. Yeah, Aston Martin's basing a lot on this vehicle. They feel that this is the success of the future of the company. So the DBX, to have another SUV from a luxury maker, it seems like it's going to be a lot of SUVs on the floor this year. And the sedan is sort of backing off.
Yeah, I mean, it would make sense, I guess, because SUVs are so popular. I mean, just kind of staring out in the parking lot here, I would say 70% of the vehicles in our parking lot right now are SUVs, because next to our building, there's a indoor sports complex where kids go in to play indoor soccer, and the SUV is the perfect thing to carry the soccer kids, all their soccer junk with them, and be able to get around, especially where the weather's bad. So SUVs for a lot of people are the first thing. But when you and I come up with the next big thing, whatever that's going to be, we'll be wealthy when we figure that out, whatever that is.
I came up with an idea that's the next big thing, but it's called the iPhone 12.
There you go. How's that working out?
I'm still working on it. I think I have some copyright issues with that, though.
Yeah.
The other couple vehicle that we have is the Volkswagen Atlas Cross Sport will be there, speaking of the bigger vehicles for families. And that's the first time it'll be in the Northeast as well.
And the big thing, Barbara Putney, your coworker, she always said to me, one of the best things about the auto show is it's one ticket and hundreds of cars. So, and I always kind of really took that to heart, that when you go to an auto show, it's not like going to a car dealership where they're trying to sell you something or trying to sell you financing to go with whatever you're looking for. You go to the auto show, you get to look around, you go over to see what the Chevrolet Blazer looks like. Then you go over and you look at the Ford Explorer, and then you go over and you look at the Atlas, and then you go and you really can kind of look from here to here to here to see what things look like. When my wife and I were shopping for a car, her big criteria back about 5 years ago was whether a beach chair could fit in the trunk of a convertible. And as odd as that sounds, that was one of the things that as we were car shopping, we're like, the Mini Cooper is kind of a nice little convertible. Yeah, can't fit a beach chair in that. The Fiat 500 convertible, not really a great convertible, but still a convertible nevertheless. But you couldn't put a beach chair in the back, in the trunk. So we ended up with the Volkswagen Beetle convertible, which you can just barely squeeze a beach chair in, but it made her happy nevertheless. So
how many times did you go to the beach with that?
Yeah. So, but the point is that you can really go, and if you're like, if you had kids and my son is 6'2" tall, is he going to be able to fit in the back seat of this, whatever it is I'm looking for? Well, you bring him along and you put him in the back seat and say, hey, you're comfortable. So you get, and so you can kind of go from vehicle to vehicle and really check out some of the stuff that's there.
You see a lot of families getting together. They come in, they're doing exactly that. They're getting in the back seat. They're checking out the entertainment systems. How does it feel on the passenger side? How much can we get in the trunk space? It's become a family experience. Also, families like to see what's coming down the pike.
Mm-hmm. What
vehicles, they always hear about automation. They always hear about, 5G. We actually have a concept car coming this year from Toyota, the Mirai.
Ah.
The 2021. So it's a chance for families, too, to see this vehicle. From the images I've seen so far, does not look like your typical EV.
Mm.
It looks much more like a big sedan. All these Toyota vehicles seem to be growing up, each model, to the next level.
Yeah.
And so we've got everything from, the what your family's going to look at for today, where the future's going. If somebody scratches the right lottery ticket, they can see the brand-new McLaren GT, which just came out.
Well, let's back up to that a minute. Tell us about that.
McLaren Boston has been a participant now for the second year in a row. And last year they brought some incredible cars, including a Senna, worth $2 million. And they had one vehicle, it was its own color of it's a fuchsia, VIN number one. So they try to bring some fun, different vehicles that are not just what you could purchase in the showroom, but also something you could admire at an auto show. This year they haven't told me everything, but I do know the new GT will be there, and that's the hot vehicle. I've even got it on the auto show ticket this year. When you buy a ticket, you'll see that vehicle. Very sharp.
Well, thank you to Danny DeSantis for doing that. Then he's
he's been on
the program before, and interesting guy. And I know some of the odd color McLarens get scooped up right away by some mattress manufacturer from like
Michael
New
Fuchs.
Jersey or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michael Fuchs. Yep.
Yep.
They invented Fuchs fuchsia for him, that color. So every so often you'll hear like, we're trying to get our hands on this, and Danny and Ali are fantastic about helping us with that.
Yeah, I just want to know what it's like that you can call McLaren up and say, can you make a car for me, but just make it my color. That must be how does that work?
Can you imagine being on the special ops team for McLaren and saying, okay, how do we make this special?
Yeah,
oh, we'll invent a color.
Yeah, I remember many, many years ago that Jaguar had a Jaguar called the XJ220, and it didn't gain a lot of appeal because it was a six-cylinder, but it was twin-turbocharged. It made crazy horsepower, and the 220 meant that it was capable of 220 miles an hour. And I'm just kind of making up who bought it. I'll say it was the Sultan of Brunei, and I think that's who it actually was. And he wanted one for every day of the week. And at the time, this was maybe 20-some-odd years ago, there were a million and change each. And he's like, well, I want one for every day of the week in a different color. And Jaguar said, well, we only have six colors. and I guess it took like, a day or so before someone said, wait, he wants to buy seven, you know, or probably in total $8 million worth of cars at one time. And we're arguing about mixing up some paint.
Let's make the sale.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's like, how soon do you want it? So I guess the idea, if you can get Fuchs fuchsia and get one made for you, that's all the better. But it isn't, you know,
also,
everybody loves
the whitest
interior, exotic cars.
John, I've ever seen before. That one interior, by the way, that was the whitest interior I've ever seen in that vehicle. You almost needed sunglasses to look at it.
Wow.
And jokingly, I would walk up to him every so often and say, I just had some Doritos. Where can I wipe my hands?
I know.
They go, get away from that car.
Yeah, they are certainly stunning cars and actually quite popular in Boston. You do see a fair amount of McLarens kind of tooling around downtown Boston. So,
All the supercars are popular in Boston.
Yeah.
And we see, that's why we have the Supercar Speedway, because people do like to come and look and admire some of those high-end vehicles. And Herb Chambers is nice enough to loan us some of his personal collection as well. And then you can see something like a new Bentley or a new Lambo, for example.
I noticed you say Lambo like you have three of them in your garage.
Right now I'm at the point where I collect them, and then after the show goes away, there goes my collection.
Yeah, there you go. Good idea. So if people want to go see, you know, to a lot of people, vehicles they're rarely ever going to see, probably never going to own, but people love to read about and look at cars that are just unobtainable to them because they are so special, they are so limited. The Boston Auto Show is a great place to do that, but also if you want to go look at the, you know, like you said, the latest, you know, compact SUVs are still extraordinarily popular. So if you want to go look at a, you know, compact or subcompact SUV, Boston Auto Show is a good place for that.
It is. Also, we've got some other features more for the family. So when they come, they can, you know, obviously if they're shopping or they're looking at the cars, any enthusiast will enjoy that. But there's also the Muscle Car Showcase. And right now I know there's a Plymouth Cuda that's supposedly coming in. Actually, that's the one I think I want a photograph of.
And are some of these cars on loan from the individuals or like the Newport Car Museum or?
Rich Doucette helps pull some of these together.
Okay.
So it's an actual labor of love for him to be able to find all the different people and museums that can pull together a showcase for us that's different every year and tops the last year.
Yeah, I know last year there was a Plymouth Superbird and which really got a lot of attention. And I think that one actually may have belonged to Gunther at the Newport Car Museum. And it was actually for sale because he found a better one. And the one he had there was stunning. So I don't know how much better you can get, but yeah.
That was the one that got a lot of attention, exactly. Also, we have the race car pit stop where the SCCA, those racers will bring their actual vehicles in, and then anybody can stop and pose for a selfie. They can get in there, put on the helmet. And it's really funny to watch the kids go in. They take a selfie with the mom taking the photograph. And then mom switches and she puts on the helmet and she gets behind the wheel.
Ah, nice.
So it's one of those fun areas. Yeah, it is. And also those people, too, are looking for new fans. So if you're interested in some competitive racing, there are members there who are actually there to happy to talk about when the next season's coming up, where they are. I know a lot of people last year met them at the show and then went to watch them race during the season. We also added a whole new racing lounge this year. It's a iHeart Race to the Finish remote control racetrack.
Okay.
And everybody who plays is entered into a contest to win a grand prize to go to the Charlotte Motor Speedway.
Wow.
And there's some Xbox racing. So that's a whole new area that Barbara helped set up. Also, Boston Garage will have a booth this year, and Rick Middleton will be there on Saturday to sign autographs.
Oh, nice.
And two of the other ones that are more interesting that we've never had before, this is something all new to the show as well. One is Subaru is obviously big into sharing the love.
Mm-hmm.
You see that commercial all the time. Well, this year they're going to be Subaru Loves Pets, and you'll have a chance to play with a few furry friends. And then you can make a personalized pet tag or chew toy for your own pet, and it'll help support a Boston area pet rescue shelter.
Wow, that's pretty neat. Yeah, Subaru's done a lot of things with, the whole Sharing the Love campaign, which we as a press association, New England Motor Press, recognized a couple of years ago. They do a lot, and a lot of it goes kind of unnoticed by some people, too. But it's really nice to see them do that. And, you know, when you talk about pet-friendly cars, Subaru seems to have it down, everything from, you know, the way they design their cars and some of their accessories they have to go with their vehicles. When people think about New England, they think about Subaru. And when a lot of times when people think about Subaru, they think about, you know, their dog in the back of one. So
it is synonymous, isn't it? And they really have done a good job of bringing that forward. And actually, it's fun to not just talk about it, but actually have something on the show floor that shows that they're doing that work. And then finally, one more charitable thing that we're doing is a tattoo a car. So this is kind of a bit different. We're having the car wrapped by Wrap Solutions.
Okay.
And it's going to be wrapped white. And then people can donate a dollar. And the dollar will go to Sonny Michelle's charity, the New England Patriot.
Mm-hmm.
He has a charity that helps with Boston homeless. And then they can take that pen and they can write on that car. And they can write something about the Patriots. They can write their name, something of inspiration, whatever they want. Keep it clean, but they can tattoo a car for the show.
Wow. So, you know, maybe somebody could go over and go, hey, you know, that car doctor guy is, we like him. You know, maybe they can find a better way to say that on the car than what I just did.
But, you already know how I spent my dollar. Yeah, that's what I'm going
to
do.
Yeah, that's it. Maybe I should just stand there with dollars and hand them to people and say, have them put my name on the car.
With a little script so they can, you know, what to write.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And in years past, there's been test drives, too. Is that going to happen again?
Yes, so of course. We always have the ride drives. And this year, Toyota and Volkswagen are participating.
Wow. So if people want to see the latest and greatest from Toyota or Volkswagen, they actually drive it kind of, there's a little route that goes right around the convention center.
The vehicle that I think most people will be interested in is the new RAV4 hybrid will be there.
Mm. That has been something that people have asked me about for years now. When is Toyota going to come out with a RAV4 hybrid? And they finally did. In fact, Toyota's coming out with a lot of hybrids, but also a lot of all-wheel drives. And they're being competitive. They're coming out with an all-wheel drive Camry and all-wheel drive Avalon. So they're sort of building cars kind of made for New England here. So that's always great stuff to see. And you know, years ago, the auto show was at the convention center, kind of off of Morrissey Boulevard, and it was, how can it be somewhat charitable? It was kind of a pit. It had low ceilings. It was dark. There wasn't much around it for something to do, so you went there to go to the auto show. At the Boston Convention Center, if people haven't been to that area in a while, it has developed like crazy over there, and you can go to the show and kind of make the rest of the day a destination of the area.
That's what people do. They come down there and they are shocked at how much the Seaport has changed since their last time. I'm down there on a regular basis. I'm shocked how much it's changed in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And so they come down there, they find out how many fun restaurants there are there, affordable family restaurants, or they just want to stay within the convention center, watch the show floor. But they make a day of it now because they sit and they park and they come into Boston. That's a bit of an effort.
Mm-hmm.
They want to enjoy, and they can really enjoy some of the best of the new city.
And I will just admit this to you, because it's really just you and I talking. I've never been on public transportation, unless you say it's a plane. I guess that's public transportation. But I understand the Silver Line. The Silver Line drops people right off in front of the convention center, right?
It does. And actually, I have done public transportation. I'm not an auto rider, so I don't have that privilege. And I can't believe how smooth and clean it is, to be honest with you. It's actually a joy. I actually had someone with me the last time I did it with from abroad. And they were like, wow, Boston's got a nice public transportation. I said, just wait, you'll see. But this is the good part.
I kind of wonder where they're from. But, yeah, it's not that I'm an elitist and I don't like public transportation. I've never found myself in a place in Boston where I've decided to jump on the T. I guess I can't really say that. I've been on whatever it is in New Jersey, the path or something. I guess I've been on something in DC, but I've never been on the T in Boston. But I understand, if you know, whether it's from the North Shore or from the South Shore, you get on the Red Line to the Silver Line, you get to the convention center nice and easy, and you don't have to worry about
very simple and easy. Yeah. And this year too, there's something else though. If you've come to the show in the past, you'll remember that we also do an RV expo at the same time. This year we're not doing it concurrently, so there'll be more parking spaces for people who come down to the convention center for the auto show. There won't be the RV expo to compete with.
Oh, that's nice, because you're right. A little bit more space. And how the convention center is, I don't know, a billion square feet. How much does the auto show take up? Do you know?
We take up 3 football fields.
That's a lot of cars.
That's a lot of cars. We take up several halls, and it is like watching Normandy being executed, the plan to the minutiae of how the carpeting gets laid down. It's a big hall. Every inch is accounted for. And it's, I think it was 340-something, I think was the last time I heard the number.
Yeah. A big, big space. And, you know, for people that aren't sure about square footage, you know, your typical, you know, Lowe's, Home Depot, Walmart is about 100,000 square feet. So envision like 4 of those. A lot of space.
Get your nice high ceilings that are well lit too, right, which is also a nice way to view the vehicles.
Yeah, and what's nice is when you go into the auto show, I don't know how it happens, but the auto show floor and all of the displays, it looks like it was just built yesterday and everything's brand new.
Yeah, because it was built yesterday.
And everything's brand new, yeah. But it's not, you don't go into a place that looks dark and dingy. It's a beautiful facility, and the city of Boston, you know, that's their convention center, and they you know, should be proud to have it in Boston.
Like to brag that it's the largest new car showroom in New England, and it really is because of that beautiful facility.
Yeah, it really is. So give us the dates and times of the show, and if they don't win tickets today, how can people get tickets for the show?
Absolutely. So the show runs from Thursday, January 16th through Monday, January 20th, so Martin Luther King weekend,
mm-hmm.
and it's at the Boston Convention and Exhibition Center. And if they want to purchase tickets, bostonautoshow.com. And if your listeners use the phrase CAR20, CAR20, that's a promo code that'll save them $2.
There you go. Perfect. And if they're there on Saturday morning, well, I'll be there on Saturday morning, but Saturday around 10 o'clock, the Mass Auto Dealers are having their student skills competition. And come down and watch some high school kids try to figure out what makes cars work and the different components and all that sort of stuff. They like having an audience.
There's a reality show waiting to happen there, so we just have to figure that out.
And the sad part is, I think I'm the MC again this year. So, So
you did a great job. Bring that puppet again. That was fun.
I will. Yeah, Bob the puppet. I bring him with me everywhere. So, yeah. hey, Chris, always a pleasure, and I'll see you at the show.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. I look forward to seeing you soon. All your listeners, please look forward to seeing you at the show this year.
All right. Take care, Chris. Bye bye.
Thank you, sir.
Yep. Bye. That was Chris Russell from the Boston Auto Show. Check it out. Check out their website. Check out the stuff. But if you've been kind of hankering to see the new Corvette, if you've been waiting to see that new Mustang Mach-E. Yeah, it's a four-door SUV that's called a Mustang. Some people don't like the idea. They're like, Mustangs only have two doors. Yeah, they also had... Mustangs run a cycle of things, so there'll still be a real Mustang, a real V8-powered, high-performance Mustang. Don't be afraid of that. But the idea that this Mustang SUV... you know, 300-mile range, I think it's 0 to 60 quicker than the gasoline car. So pretty impressive vehicle.
It's just boring on the inside.
Yeah. But like all things, I'm sure they will make it less boring.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
As long as there's demand for it, of course, which I don't – well, we'll see with Ford. We'll go with that.
Yeah. But the one thing I hope they don't do is go sort of Tesla and just put a big digital display in. Which
isn't that kind of how it is now with a big
tablet
thing?
Yeah. I want a little bit of both. And again, I haven't really seen enough of it yet to really know what the real one's going to be, but I understand they've pre-sold everything they can pre-sell. So, kind of like with the Tesla wacky truck, they have all their pre-orders all done. So a lot of people have, I guess, the wherewithal to think about buying it. Somebody said to me the other day, where do you think electric cars are going to go? And I stole this line from, it might have been Jay Leno, but I put it in print somewhere, but I said I stole it. So, Jay Leno said something like, and I agree, that in 20 or 25 years, gasoline-powered cars, new gasoline-powered cars, will be as rare as new stick-shift cars.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's going to still be some trucks, obviously, and some other stuff, but gasoline-powered cars and SUVs in 20 or 25 years, I think, unless we find there's no way to recharge them, because the electric utility company hasn't kept up with the ability to recharge them. And that's a concern, because in parts of the country during peak air conditioning season, there's brownouts because the utility can't make enough electricity, so they have to kind of turn stuff down. So if everybody buys an electric car and as much as smart chargers are supposed to be smart and people will charge it off peak and all this other stuff, yeah.
But isn't it true that if they're all electric cars, there'll be less demand for petroleum and oil, so that that now can go to the electric companies to produce more electricity?
Well, most of the electricity, at least made here in the Northeast, is natural gas. So natural gas makes most of the electricity.
Okay.
So kind of no. The natural gas is, underground. It's not made from oil. Propane is made from oil. Natural gas is made from, natural gas. Something. So if you go to any one of these, power plants in this area, they're generally natural gas powered. There's some old coal-fired plants here and there around the country, and there's probably some oil-fired plants, but most of them are natural gas because it is cleaner. And then, you have, is it Brookline or Brighton or Cambridge that said any new construction has to be all electric, and you can't have a gas furnace or gas stove versus
Brookline.
So,
and someplace
like California, California, the entire state is that way now.
Yes, but I heard a blurb somewhere that some municipalities are now considering an electric car tax because of the whole thing. They're not using the gas tax.
Well, that had to happen sometime. What happens is in theory, at least, when you buy gasoline, the gas tax, which is 27, 6 cents, 5 cents, something like that, in Massachusetts, plus the federal tax, that gas tax goes to a penny or so goes towards gasoline cleanup and spills and stuff like that. So there's always a fund to be able to pay for that sort of stuff. But the rest of it goes towards transportation. So it gets a little quirky, kind of, that the transportation, this is way too political for me, but roads and bridges, kind of the T, kind of bike paths, maybe even those electronic signs that say, you know, Boston, 21 miles, 5,000 minutes, because it's Boston and it takes an hour to get from Boston to Boston. But that's where the money goes to, and if you have electric cars don't pay that. So I think what's going to happen at some point that that will be taxed on vehicle miles traveled, so your car will, you'll have to electronically probably provide your start and finish miles from like quarterly or monthly or daily or something.
Or might be like an excise tax bill could after be. You do your state yeah. inspection.
Yeah, something like that. Something like that. So you're paying your fair share because your electric car is as heavy as a gasoline car and it wears out the roads just like gasoline cars do. So, but that's as political as I get. It's 9 o'clock. Why don't we take a break? You're listening to the Car Doctor program on AM 950 WROL, the Spirit of Boston, 100.3 FM. Or maybe you're listening on WROL radio, or maybe you're listening on my podcast, johnfpaul.podbean.com, or any one of those other podcast sites you can go to. We'll be right back. I'm more of a 57 Chevy fan myself because I had one. The 56 was the odd year. 55, kind of no fins. 56, kind of a little more rounded. 57 had the fins. So, okay, two things. Speaking of 57 Chevys, if you want tickets to the Boston Auto Show, this would probably be a good time to call in. And no trivia guesses for this. We are going to do a trivia question coming up, and you will win. You will win.
Wait a second. You didn't prepare me for this. You said we're giving away tickets today. I said, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't agree to no trivia stuff.
That's coming later. The trivia stuff's coming later. And the trivia stuff, the prize will be some form of... fragrance, yes, it's a fragrance that smells like a new car. So you can smell like a new car, and that's comes from the people at Demeter, DemeterFragrance.com, and you can go check it out. You can check out their website, DemeterFragrance.com, and you can get cologne, body lotion, shower gels, massage, and body oils, which doubles as beard oil, by the way. So you can get that, and we have a couple of samples of that. So I will put a sample in a container for you, in an envelope or something, and I will mail out your... But that's trivia coming up. That's after we do a ticket giveaway. Dennis is frantically writing as fast as he can, so be patient with him. And if you want tickets to the Boston Auto Show, you just have to call our number, 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030, 617-770-3030 is how you get through. And Dennis will take down your name and address, and I will do my best to get the tickets in the mail to you. I have put everyone's tickets, everyone who has emailed me, I have put tickets in the mail for them. So if you haven't gotten them yet, you should get them soon. With the exception of
what is your address?
Todd is from Braintree. I just got your email. I did get it, Todd, and I will put those tickets in the mail with the rest of the tickets that I'm going to give away today. So you will be getting those coming up soon, and we'll take care of you. And so you get to go to the Boston Auto Show and save yourself a little bit of money. You can go. Donate money to, spend a dollar and put your name on a car or something like that. You can do that. So,
excellent.
Well, again, I'm not a political person, but I got an email from SEMA, the Specialty Equipment Manufacturers Association, this past Friday, and it says, tell Congress to pass the RPM Act and save our race cars. Act now. Tell Congress to pass the RPM Act. And that is to stop the EPA from destroying motorsports in the year 2020. Your members of Congress need to hear from you before the end of the year. The end of the year is not the end of the year for them, but it still is. But street vehicles, cars, trucks, motorcycles can't be converted into race cars, according to the EPA. The EPA has announced that enforcement against high-performance parts, including superchargers, tuners, exhaust systems, is a top priority for 2020. The RPM Act was reintroduced. Even if you and one of your hundreds of thousands of enthusiasts contacted Congress in the past, they need your support. But go to the SEMA website. It's SEMA.org, and you can find out more information about it, and you'll learn more about the RPM Act. And, you know, they're saying you can't modify a car, so you can figure it out. Well, here in Massachusetts, if you were going to buy an electric vehicle, Massachusetts ran out of money. But apparently, and that was in September, but they found some more money. And the rebate program known as MOR-EV, MOR-EV, was canceled by the Baker administration September 30th because it had run out of money, which is good, which means a lot of people are buying electric cars. And electric cars are interesting, and I think they will truly be, at some point, a replacement for gasoline cars as the technology continues to improve and change. The funding comes to the state through the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, which is a multi-state cap and invest program to lower emissions from power plants, and was authorized by the legislature as part of the year-end budget to close the books for 2019. It's a pretty significant infusion for the program, and we're going to continue to look at ways to utilize funding for electrification, says the Department of Energy Resources, Patrick Woodcock. We're really encouraged about the development. Hopefully this will be meaningful. Consumers beginning January 1st will be eligible to receive a rebate of $2,500 on the purchase of an all-electric vehicle or $1,500 for a plug-in hybrid with a range of at least 25 miles on battery charge. So there's some that are going to work, some that aren't. I think the Kona electric is, or plug-in hybrid is one that would work, for instance. The vehicle must also have a sticker price under $50,000. So for you Tesla buyers who are going out and spending, you know, $100,000 on a Tesla, you don't get the $2,500 rebate. Sorry. But it is an actual rebate, different than some of the federal tax subsidies, which comes off your taxes, goes towards a deduction. But Woodcock said the inclusion of hybrids, plug-in hybrids for the program will hopefully make those lower emission vehicles more attractive to drivers in rural areas and parts of the state that have to worry about how much range the car has. Since more EV programs started in 2014, the state has given out more than $31.2 million in rebates for purchase of about 15,000 vehicles. Tesla has been a top manufacturer of vehicles purchased in Massachusetts with a rebate, followed by the Chevrolet Bolt, Toyota, Nissan, and Ford. In 2018, 6,000 vehicles were purchased with about $13 million worth of grants. He doesn't know how long the $27 million will last, but, you know, if you're thinking about buying, this is the time to buy it. Price of electric batteries has also fallen, which has helped. So there we go. There we go. So good things coming from there. There's an Israeli startup called TriEye, which collaborates with Porsche to let drivers see better in low visibility. Israel startup TriEye, whose shortwave infrared radar sensing technology enhances visibility in adverse weather and nighttime conditions, announced a collaboration with German sports car manufacturer Porsche, or Porsche, depending on who you are, to further improve visibility and performance of advanced driver assistance systems. Well, that's one of the problems. Advanced driver assistance systems sound like a really good idea, except they don't work in bad weather where you really want them to work. And this sounds like it's something that will work. Our collaboration with Porsche has been exceptional from day one, and we look forward to this potential. The fact that Porsche, a leading car manufacturer, has decided to go along with it. It's good. TriEye is a Tel Aviv-based semiconductor company solving low visibility challenges for advanced driver assistance systems in autonomous vehicles. And I don't think it's a really super expensive thing, which kind of helps with the overall cost of the vehicle. So there we go. I got to check with Dennis and see how he's doing with ticket giveaways here. So we'll let him get caught up a little bit. Mitsubishi showed a kind of a dune buggy sort of vehicle. Mitsubishi Motors took the dune buggy to a new level with its MI Tech concept. The open cockpit two-seater is a mixture of buggy and SUV designed with no top or doors, but Mitsubishi last week put emphasis on the concept's flex fuel ability. The MI Tech is a plug-in hybrid equipped with a lightweight drivetrain that employs four motors, four-wheel drive layout. The hybrid system uses a compact turbine generator in place of the gasoline engine, so kind of makes electricity, uses gas to make electricity, kind of Chevy Voltish. Mitsubishi said the system can run on gasoline, diesel, kerosene, or alcohol, allowing drivers to select their fuel depending on where they are. This is an electrified SUV that fulfills desire, according to somebody. Dennis, how many tickets you give away?
A lot.
Count them up. Let's see. Make sure we didn't give away too many.
What's it? 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18.
18 people, so 36 tickets?
Yes.
Kind of, more or less?
Sort of left, yes.
All right, let's stop.
Okay. Thank you.
Good. There's too many. So, well, 9 names though, right? Not 18 names.
Yeah, I was doing two tickets each.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. So, I'll count up what we have and we might do it again next week.
Yay! Joyous times.
Yeah, look, I always like seeing where people come from. We have people from Derry, South Yarmouth, Billerica, Beverly, East Bridgewater, Newton, Walpole, Kingsboro, Tewksbury. Nice.
You can read my chicken scratch when I'm writing that fast.
It's close enough. That's close enough. I think I have it. I think you might have spelled Neil wrong, but
I think I did. Yeah, put the E instead of E before the I or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, it's fine. I understand. So, and couldn't you got a whole piece of paper or
I like to conserve.
It's fine to be green. It's okay. It's all right. So it's all good.
So
but yeah,
there were a lot of people that I put on hold that dropped. I can only write so fast. I'm sorry if you can't wait that long, but I can only write so
Dennis
fast.
Dennis did the best he could. So, but we will. I'll count up tickets. We'll see what we have, and we have another week or so before the auto show.
Yeah, there's a couple weeks before.
So that should be fun. So all good stuff.
And we took the address, so you're mailing them, yeah.
Yes, I'm mailing them. And if you didn't get through, and again, I haven't counted them up, but if you want to email me if you didn't get through, so you have to be a little more techie, and especially if you're listening on the podcast, although I guess if you're listening on the podcast in North Dakota, you probably don't want tickets to the Boston.
No, you never know. They might be coming.
Yeah, it could be. Could be. Never know. You're absolutely right. You know, could happen.
You know, MLK Jr. did have a house in Boston.
That's true. They could be.
People
you're right.
Could
they
be could coming be
coming. They could be coming for the weekend. Check out all. You know, check out what's going on in Boston, and or maybe it's parents with doing college visits.
True.
Still, could be. Could be. Checking out. I understand there's a college or two in this town.
Just one or two.
One or two. A couple of them are pretty good, I understand, too. So anyway, so there you go. There you go. So you can check it all out and see what it's all about, and we'll kind of go from there. I wanted to talk about, and I've been sort of neglecting the car I drove a while back, which was the new little Mercedes SUV. But before I get to that, last week I was driving a Volvo Cross Country V70. So a station wagon that's called a Cross Country, which means it sits up about an inch and a half higher than the regular wagon. But it's not an SUV, it's really just a wagon. And it has two 35, 45, 19 tires on it. big fat tires with not much sidewall. That's the optional size tire. The 18s are the standard tire, but if you want to be a little sporty looking, you put the 19s on. They are Pirelli P0 all-season tires. Well, about 500 yards from my house, I hit a pothole. Ba-dum-bum. And I'm like, oh, that didn't sound good. And I said, well, the good news is the low tire light's not coming on. The car's not shaking. I guess it just wasn't so bad. And then I drove to work. Then I looked at the tire when I got to work, and it had quite the bubble in the side of it. Oh, my God. So I called Sullivan Tire and said, hey, I got a 235-45-19 Pirelli P0. Can you get one for me? And they said, let me look. Yeah, we should be able to do that. And they said, no, that's for a Volvo. And I said, yeah, it is for a Volvo. They said, we can order you one, but we don't have anything in stock. So I called Direct Tire. Figured, well, they're kind of, you know, they're in areas with luxury cars, and there's a Direct Tire near a Volvo dealership. So I called them, and they're like, nah, I don't have it. So then I called the Volvo dealer. Said, hey, looking for a, I tried Prime Volvo. I said, hey, I'm looking for a 235-45-19 Pirelli P0. I'm like, eh. None in the warehouses. Like, oh, yeah. Then I called Tasca Volvo. They have a huge parts warehouse. I'm like, they got to have it. Called them. They're like, nope. I'm like, oh, boy. So then I went online to Tire Rack. And we've always had a good relationship with Tire Rack. They've called into our program before. And they credit me with the expression how important tires are, because tires are the only part of your car that ever touches the road. They seem to... only touches the road, yes. And they said, well, you know, we have said that, you know, and you said that. I think they said it and they forgot and I stole it. But either way, they gave me credit for it. So I'm going with it. And they're like, yeah, we have one in our Connecticut warehouse. We can have it tomorrow. Like, fantastic. Which is what Sullivan Tire was actually offered to do for me. They said, we can go online, but you can do that too if you want. And I got the tire the next day. And I think I ordered it at 7:30 in the morning, and I got it the next day by 10. And I looked at it for the first time. And it's full of foam rubber. And I was like, what's that? And it has probably the width of the tire inside, so maybe 8 inches across and about 2 inches deep, soft foam rubber. And it's glued all the way around the tire with probably 3 spots about 1.5 inches wide where it's separated. So it's like big chunk of foam rubber, 1.5 inches. Chunk of foam rubber, 1.5 inches, and so forth. I'm like, what the heck? Does that come out? Did they put it in there? Why is it in there? It's actually put in there. Pirelli puts it in some of their tires because it helps quiet road noise. So when they put on these tires, which would be typically kind of noisy because they're performance-oriented all-season tires, and it tends to transmit a fair amount of noise into the car, the foam rubber sucks up the noise. And I had never seen such a thing. And because I was trying to be somewhat frugal, I went to, after I did the radio show last Saturday, went down to Junior's Automotive in Middleborough and said, hey, can we put a tire on this car? Hoping that he would take care of me. And he's like, let me look at that tire. What the heck's that? I'm like, I don't know. And my nephew who works there looked at it and looked at the side of the tire and said, so there's something about sound on the side of it. I'm like, yeah, it must be there. So Junior and I both looked it up and said, oh, yeah, it's sound deadening. That's why they put it on. And it's specifically designed. This is one of those cases where the tire is specifically designed for the car. Now, I only bought one tire because that's all it needed, and all I could afford. The tire was $285, which is expensive. But if I went to a different brand, I probably could have saved $100. So if I had a this Volvo, and in 50,000 miles from now, it needed four tires, and I said, yeah, no, I don't want to put those. I can save $500 by putting Bridgestones on, or whoever else made the same size. I'd put them on. They wouldn't have the sound deadening in them. And I'd drive away and go, what happened to my car? It's not quiet like it used to be. Now, maybe you could say it's not quiet and I'll save $500 and it'll be not quiet. But this is one of those cases where the tires are truly engineered for the vehicle. So the vehicle manufacturer says to the car, to the tire manufacturer, this is the car we're building. We want to build a tire specifically for the car to help with road noise. And Pirelli did it with this P0 M&S. So it's all back together. Everything's good. Wheel didn't get damaged. The tire is a piece of discussion now for people to look at and go, look at that. So I want to thank Tire Rack, the people at Sullivan Tire, for pointing me to Tire Rack, and Junior's Automotive for helping me mount the tire, because as I pointed out to Mr. D'Amato, the last time I used a tire machine, it didn't look anything like this one. I looked at it and went, how the heck does that thing work? I said, and he goes, we got one of the old ones out back if you want to use that one.
I think the last time I used one was in the 80s.
In the 80s?
It had this big rod thing.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I grew up of, various variations of that tire machine. The problem is that at a post in the middle, where you screw a cone down,
yep,
it puts all the pressure on the middle of the wheel, and with these alloy wheels, all it does is break the wheel. Where the new ones expand from the inside, it's got a thing that you flip over, you flip the tire bead up over this little arm. You don't use the, once you do that, you let the machine do all the work. And they even have some machines now that you literally go over, you wheel the tire next to the machine, it does everything. It picks the tire up, it moves it, I've never actually seen one in operation other than a video of it, but the one that the ones that most people have now, Corgis and some other brand, Hunter makes one, you go over and you put the tire down next to the machine. The thing that would normally break the bead is actually on the side of the machine, so you put it over, you use it, spin the tire around, do the same thing, put it on the machine, flip the thing up, tire comes off. And I can't say I've never used one before. The last time I put tires on my old car, I bought four tires online somewhere, and I was at a meeting at Mount Wachusett Community College. And I said to the automotive instructor, Peter, who I've known for 30 years, hey, Pete, can I use your tire machine while I'm here? And he goes, yeah, sure. And I walk over to him. I'm like, okay, what's this? How's this work? And I managed to figure it out. And by the third tire, I was getting pretty good at it. But I was also, it was a summer day, and I was all hot and sweaty. They thought I was going to have a heart attack. Speaking of things, why don't we take a break, pay some bills? When we come back, we're going to play a little bit of trivia. So you can smell like a new car. Because who wouldn't want to smell like a new car? Everyone wants to smell like a new car. My name's John Paul. This is the Car Doctor program. You're listening on AM 950 WROL, the Spirit of Boston, maybe 100.3 FM, or probably WROLradio.com. We'll be right back. My rig is a big old Cadillac, towing a big double A that is jet black. The thing on behind is so flossy and clean. Little GTO, you're really looking fine. Three deuces and a four-speed and a 389. Listen to her tacking up now. Listen to her whine. Yeah, yeah. Come on and turn it on. Wind it up, blow it out, GTO. And welcome back. If people only knew the conversations that happened in between what happens on the air, they would be amazed at the weird stuff that we talk about.
Fact, not opinion.
Yes, exactly that. So, okay. Do you want to smell like a new car?
Not really.
Ah, come on. Ah, come on. And I don't know what I have. Body lotion, shower gel, beard oil. I got some stuff. But it's from, again, it's from DementaFragrance.com. D-E-M-E-T-E-R. I guess that's how you pronounce it. DementaFragrance, .com. And you can smell like your new car. So, So we are going to do trivia. And you have to be old. You have to be old to know this question. And what we will do to go along with the Demeter fragrance is we'll also throw in a pair of tickets to the Boston Auto Show to go with it. Okay. Is this just a regular generic question?
Yes.
Okay. So, Tom, stay right there a minute. Don't go away. Okay, so here's a trivia question. And it's only because I've been watching old television. There was an English TV show called The Prisoner. What was the car that he drove up before he got gassed and brought to wherever they went? So if you know...
I think we did this one before.
Oh, we probably did. Probably did. So anyway, so if you know what kind of car that, who was it, Patrick McGowan drove in the TV show The Prisoner. And I don't know why it seems like I've watched it. I watched one episode. It was like he was number 8. There was a number 2. Everybody had numbers assigned to them. Never really understood the whole essence of the show back when it was on in the 60s, and I still don't understand it. But he drove a kind of cool car at the very beginning. And so what was that car? If you know what it is, you will win some sort of Demeter body fragrance stuff that makes you smell like a new car. Who doesn't want to smell like a new car? Everyone does. And we'll send you out that and a pair of tickets to the Boston Auto Show. How's that? So 617-770-3030 is the number to play trivia. But right now, let's talk to Tom in Kingston. Tom, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm good. Yourself?
Good. I have no stinking idea what that would be. I just want to tell you about my experience just over Christmas.
All right.
Went over to my son's house in Rockland and had my 2004 Ford Ranger. And goes, Dad, I think your belt's starting to go. It's squeaking like a bird. I just heard it this morning for the first time. So I said, I'll take care of that later. And the next day I called up my auto mechanic. He goes, I'm kind of busy. Do you mind bringing it in Saturday? I said, sure, no problem. I'll bring it in Saturday. And I said to my wife, it's probably either the belt, the pulley, and hopefully not the water pump.
Mm-hmm.
So Friday, she took a ride from Kingston down to Plymouth. At exit 7, the engine stopped. Stopped cold turkey, but she still had power steering.
Okay.
Pulled over the side of the road.
Yeah.
And instead of calling AAA, she called me.
Well, my wife does the same thing.
So then I called AAA. And it's kind of cool how they do it now. They got a tracking thing to find out where you really are.
Yep.
It's nice. So, my wife dropped it off. They had it towed over to the mechanic, and he said, thank you for the Christmas present, and he'll take a look at it. I'm at home trying to figure out why would the engine stop. Of course, the only thing I can come up with logically, fuel pump or sending unit.
Mm-hmm.
I said 90-some-odd thousand miles on it. Probably is, and of course, it's got 18 gallons of gas in it. We filled it up for the holiday.
Of course you did, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I says, okay, that's his problem. Calls me up, And he goes, you're not going to believe what it is. What do you think it was?
Let's see. A mouse built a house in the air cleaner.
No, that's a good answer, though. It was the harmonic balancer.
Ah.
I said, in all my years being a backyard mechanic, I have never heard of a harmonic balancer going. And he says, in all my years doing auto mechanics, I've never had to replace one.
Hmm.
And it was so strange. So I Googled it, you know, trouble with the harmonic balancer, 2004 Ford Ranger. And a guy had the same thing. He had a squeaky, like a, like the belts ready to go. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And he had 77,000 miles on his vehicle and had to replace the harmonic balancer.
Yeah. Occasionally, what will happen is the harmonic balancer is, you know, it's not just a, unless it's a race car, it's not just a big pulley. It's a pulley pressed onto another pulley with a rubber insulator between it. And what can happen is the rubber wears out and it starts to separate. And on my old Hyundai Santa Fe, every time I would hit a puddle in the road, I would lose my power steering. So the first thing I assumed was the power steering belt was bad or the tensioner was bad.
Sure.
So I went out and took the belt off and looked at it, and it was fine. And I looked at the tensioner, it was fine. And then I got somewhat creative and said, well, if it happens when I hit a puddle, why don't I just get it wet and see what happens? So I took out the hose and opened up the hood and sprayed water on the belt. Nothing really happened. And then I sprayed, and not on purpose, I sprayed water on the harmonic balancer, and it was making all kinds of noise. And I'm like, well, look at there you go.
Yeah.
So it was still under the, even though that car I bought used, it was under the 60,000 mile warranty. And I brought it to the Hyundai dealer near where I work, and I'm like, yeah, it needs a harmonic balancer. I don't think so. It needs a tensioner. And I'm like, I don't think so. So he calls you back in the afternoon and said, it needed a harmonic balancer. I said, how'd you figure it out? And he said, we took a bucket of water and dumped it on top of the engine, and you could see the crankshaft spinning and the balancer not turning. And that's and I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what I saw when I sprayed water on it. And he's like, we've never seen that before. Since then, I have seen it on some Toyota engines have done the same thing. And it's not even like you could, it would make sense if you said, hey, the crankshaft seal is leaking and it's spitting some oil onto it and it deteriorated the rubber thing.
I agree.
The one that on my car, the engine was dry as can be, and one that I saw on a Toyota was dry as can be. And it, over time, it just deteriorates. And I hadn't seen it on a Ranger, but that happens once in a while.
Was yours a front mount engine?
Yeah. No, it was a east to west engine, not north to south.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Still, I thought it was kind of strange.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
And then he says to me, my mechanic goes, well, it's old. It's 15 years old. I said, well, I'm older than that. My still works.
Your harmonic balance is still turning, right? Yeah.
That time.
Yeah. Exactly.
Hey, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. Take care.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Well, I think we have a guest for trivia. Brian from Derry. Brian, good morning.
Morning, John Paul. Brian, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? So in the old English TV series, The Prisoner, what kind of car did he drive?
I believe it was a Lotus 7 S2.
Lotus 7 was close enough for me, or Super 7 or whatever they called it. Was close. No, that's a wrong sound effect. Hang on. There you go. That's the right sound effect. You are absolutely right. Now, did you used to watch that show?
That was a great show. Just like what that show, the how many cars they had to make for that the car with the Confederate flag on it.
Oh yeah, yeah. The Dukes of Hazzard, yeah.
The Dukes of Hazzard car, yeah.
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 But I had
seen one of them at one of the old car shows up there.
But the show The Prisoner, did he ever get off the island?
No.
No?
No. Imagine being stranded on that island.
It looked a little too formal for me. So I think over the between Sometime I was home, it must have been New Year's Day or something. I stumbled across it once, and then I think maybe it was the weekend between Christmas and New Year's, I stumbled across it again. And I think I saw what was probably the first episode, I think, and then I saw a later episode, and I still didn't understand the whole theory of the show, but I liked the car, so it didn't really matter.
Yeah. The other thing, John, was that also naturally a license plate that was English too.
Yeah, yeah, no, and that and you can buy a reproduction of that Lotus. I think it's they can't say Lotus because it's not a Lotus, but I think it's actually called the Super 7. And
but that's a kit car, right?
Yeah, it's a kit car. There was a guy out in over towards Shirley, Mass, over towards the old military base over there that was building them. And they were pretty cool, but they were stupid expensive. But you could buy he bought it as a kit, and he would put some sort of hot little four cylinder engine in it, maybe out of a Civic or something. And but they were pretty expensive, and I think they were in the I don't know, when I kind of half looked at them, $80,000 range for a car that didn't have a roof or windows. And I got to get the guy on somewhere between me and you. There is a guy who runs a shop, but he also is a Adam Ariel dealer, and I've driven one of those cars, and it uses a turbocharged Honda engine in a basically a skeleton frame that you can drive on the street, and the thing is really fast and fun to drive, and I've been meaning one of these days I get him on the air. But you stay right. You don't have to. We have your address already. So
John, I have one more quick thing to
sure.
tell you.
All right,
Buick is no longer manufacturing sedans. Is that true? They're just going to make SUVs.
They are. That is something I read as well, but I don't know how soon. And it's a shame because somebody actually just wrote to me the other day and said the same thing. I think it's going to be at the end of 2021 is what they're talking about. And it's a shame because I actually kind of like the Torx, which is really a Opel wagon, but that wagon, that all wheel drive wagon was actually a pretty nice little car. Now their sedans are, something else, the sad part is the last Buick SUV I drove was all made in China.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
Yeah, and our friend Paul from Braintree sent me a picture of a 65 Buick Riviera, and I'm like, they made some pretty good stuff back then.
Those were like tanks.
Oh, they were, but they had style. I mean, that was the one with the hideaway headlights and all that, and it was a car that you looked at it and you made a statement with it.
Nothing. All those other Buicks that they had, the Wildcat.
Yep.
A lot of those cars had those vacuum headlights. You put the headlights on, and the doors opened up.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
You know what I liked? The classy taillights. The Cougar had them. And I believe it was the Mustang. You put the right and left turn signal and three bulbs.
Oh, the sequential taillights. Yeah.
That was really classy.
Yeah, the new Mustang GT has sequential taillights.
And, oh, is that right?
Yeah, but I got to tell you, those old sequential taillights were all mechanical, and in the trunk there was a box that looked like a. If you ever took a, I don't know what would be a good example, like a. Like a music box apart. It was a bunch of wheels with teeth on it, and it had electrical solenoids on it. And as the little wheels would turn, it would open and close these switches, and the switches would turn on and off. And that's what would fire the lights all independently. And over time, the little electric motor that ran that thing would all just wear out and break and stop working. And what you would do is you'd just kind of unplug it and make it work afterwards. But it was a completely mechanical thing. Hey, Brian, thanks a lot, and you'll be smelling like a new car in no time.
You know, I want to tell you, they sell that new car fragrance in the three pack or single pack. You know those three air fresheners?
Yep.
At the car wash?
Yep.
But I don't go there. I get them like in
Market Basket. This is going to make you smell like a new car. We'll send
I can't wait to smell that one. Hey, did you see that Steve McQueen's famed Mustang Bullitt, the car?
Yeah.
That car that was in the 68 movie Bullitt, it's going to auction.
Yeah.
It was in yesterday's Globe.
Well, we can all buy it.
I think that was a 4-speed or 5-speed Shelby, wasn't it?
No, I don't think it was a Shelby, but it might have been. Yeah, you could be right.
4-speed or 5-speed. I know it was a standard.
Yeah, it was a 4-speed, and they drove it in third most of the time and second most of the time.
Yes, in third and most of the time in the movie. Was that a 289 engine?
No. No, I think it was the big engine in that. Hey, Brian, we got to get going, but thanks a lot.
Right, I'm sorry to keep you.
No, I love talking to you, but we got to move on to Rick in Boston.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank
you. Yep. All right. On to Rick in Boston. Rick? Rick?
Yep.
There you are.
Yeah, I'm here. Hey, man. I came across an article, and it sounded a little strange to me that women are more likely to die in an automobile accident than men are, and the only explanation that I came across in the article was that the test dummies are configured to be a male, not a female.
You are right. And about a month ago, we had Keith Barry on from Consumer Reports, and Keith is the one who actually wrote the most recent article in Consumer Reports. It just came out this month about why that is the case. And you're right that the crash test dummies are look like me and Bob Brooks, and don't look like and Dennis, and don't look like 5'6" women.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is part of the reason. But yeah, so what happens is they when they test, they always sort of like, you know, you ever hear the expression, you know, we study for the test? Well, that's kind of what we teach for the test. Well, that's what happens with the crash tests. When they say, Insurance Institute for Highway Safety is testing a particular crash. So it's like, you know, when a car hits a post on the right side of the fender, what happens to the inside of the car? Well, the car manufacturers go, okay, let's make the right side of the car stronger so it passes the crash test. And the same thing, they do the crash testing to fit the 80 percentile male. So whatever the most popular male size is, that's how they do it. So because of that, now what's going to happen? And crash test dummies are not inexpensive; they're really expensive. So I guess the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety and others are going to start to develop a crash test dummy that will sort of meet that criteria and will be better at protecting everyone, not just guys. So that's what I know.
Okay. It seems a little strange that over the years they hadn't figured that women are also riding in cars.
Well, not even just riding in them. They're buying 80% of, or they're buying more than 50%, and they're influential in 80% of the buying decisions. So
yeah,
I found it bizarre as well, because I've seen who is it, Dennis, Larry, and who's the other crash test dummy?
Oh, I can't remember them.
Yeah. But Larry and the
Moore,
other guy.
Probably Moore or Curly.
Yeah, I know. But but whoever the two crash test dummies are like, where's Larry's wife? How come he doesn't have a wife or a sister or something?
Right. Yeah. I totally forgot about the crash test dummies.
Yeah. So but anyway. So there you go, Rick.
Okay.
All right, take care.
Done.
Yep, bye bye. Let's talk to Robert in Tingsboro. Robert.
Good morning, John. Happy New Year and new decade. Yeah, I just wanted
wait. Does the decade start now or next year?
Next year.
Dennis says it's next year.
Really? I thought it was starting with the 20. You know.
Well, do you when you start counting, do you start with zero or one?
Yeah, well, it's like when you're born.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I know. I don't. You know, I heard this. I was under the impression, hey, we're starting a new decade. And then somebody said to me, wait, the new decade doesn't start until 2021.
Oh,
so I don't know.
I have no idea.
It's very controversial.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that Mustang was a 68 2 plus 2, the Steve McQueen bullet.
Yeah, that's, yeah, it wasn't a
yeah,
Shelby. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't even a GT. It had a 390 FE GT and a 4-speed manual.
4-speed manual that I don't think ever came out of second or third gear, did it?
Yeah, they seem to, most of them shows, they seem to go from either fourth to third or second to third all-time interior show. Yeah.
I'm not a racer by any means, but I have run around the track at Pocono and run around the track up in New York, and you're pretty much in second or third gear all the time anyway. You're never going fast enough. So on those city, I'm sure in those all those city shots where they're going, 40, 50, 60 miles an hour, they got to stay in second or third gear just to get the torque.
Yeah, plus it had a few Steve McQueen tweaks to it. Nothing major, but and so you've never done those Richard Petty or other, drive.
I haven't done that one, but I've been up to Monticello, up to the racetrack up there, which is a beautiful track. I've driven around that a bunch of times in some, not race cars, but performance-oriented cars. And I did the same thing out in Pocono. Out in Pocono, they have a road course in the middle of the track. And then the way they used to have it set up, you'd drive out, you'd get out on the main Pocono NASCAR track, and just before that big, 40-degree NASCAR turn, they would bring you back into the road course. You'd zip through the road course and come back. So it was a lot of fun, and if you did it in a Corvette or a Viper or a Porsche, it was even a lot more fun until you did something stupid, then they'd take your driving privileges away.
Yeah, I have done the Richard Petty twice, once in New Hampshire Speedway and once in the Orlando area. It was inside the Disney park.
Oh, okay.
It's addictive.
Is it?
That one was like a tri-oval and high banked, 125, 130 mile an hour. That's what they let you come to.
Yep.
Once they see you can handle it, and then they'll bring you up faster and faster as long as you stay with them. They have a lead car.
Yeah.
Kind of like a rabbit.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been to Lime Rock for the racing school, and then they were in like Formula Ford. So they were, maybe they were 140 horsepower, a little Formula Ford engine. But it was a lot of fun, and you would do the same thing. You would follow a lead car around, and they took you out first and let you see how bad you were. One of my favorite experiences, there's a guy by the name of David Murray. David Murray was a Porsche race driver, and he's still around. And I went out with him, this was had to be 30 years ago, in a 911 Carrera in road Atlanta. So you go out with two laps with him, and he might as well have been having a cigarette and drinking a cup of coffee, one hand on the wheel, doing 150 miles an hour around road Atlanta. He had that track just totally memorized. And then he said, okay, now it's time for you to drive. So I'm probably doing about 135, 40 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
But I'm not close enough to the wall. So he reaches over and he like grabs the steering wheel and turns the steering wheel to one side. So I'm like within 12 inches of the wall. So the air's a lot cleaner.
Yeah, and I had problems with that, too.
And I'm like, I don't know that it was odd just to have. And he just kind of said, oh, no, you got to get a little closer. And he rocks the wheel over against the and then on the way down, we're coming down a hill. And he goes, okay, start to slow down out here. And I just took my foot off the gas. And, of course, when I did, it was just like hitting the brakes at 100 miles an hour. And the car turned a little bit sideways. He's like, don't do that again. I'm like, okay, all right, calm down. So that was my experience with a race car driver at the same time, and he was a really, really nice guy. So there you go. Hey, Robert, we got to go. We're running out of time. So
again, whatever decade, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, whatever decade it is to you as well, Robert.
Bye.
All right. So I just look down at my phone, and when people send me emails, I get all
and then
distracted.
You get lost, and you do that awkward pause.
I do. I know that awkward pause of what? What? Because somebody just said to me, regarding your reply to a truck owner with the transmission shutter, this is a widespread problem with HPE GM automatics and GM line. The fluid triple flush and replacement reformulated transmission fluid is the first step. If that fails, the dealer is instructed to replace the torque converter because it is damaged. A few minutes with Google will lead you to numerous threads, blah, 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 blah. I think I said that. I think I said it. Was part of the problem.
I wasn't here.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, so. Hey, look, it's Bob Brooks.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Fifth week in a row for me.
I know.
This is good, but actually, Sully is on the mend.
Yeah.
He actually got the okay to travel because great news coming out of the Sullivan family. Paul Sullivan just became a grandfather
for the second time
on January 1st. A little baby Connor was born to his son and wife down in D.C.
So another boy.
And that's where he is. Another boy.
Congratulations. Okay.
Yeah, I said another person to do commercials for you.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, because
when he comes in.
Because his other grandson has done at least one commercial.
Yeah. Hey, I want you listeners to know, if all our streamers, if you get the app and if you get us on iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, that's great. We are now also on radio.com for free as well.
Radio.com.
It's a free app similar to iHeart, to TuneIn Radio. And I listened to it on the way in on radio.com, and it sounded crystal clear.
Well, I'm glad we are, because when I try to put in WROL radio, it always breaks it up and splits up WROL in radio, and then it goes to the radio.com app, and it frustrates me because we weren't on that before, and it's like, now people can go to radio.com.
And actually, I was doing some math. This is actually the third year in a row I get to do the first show of the year.
Wow. Because normally Sully goes down.
And he goes down. By the way, we're going on year number 53, which is incredible.
53.
That's almost as old as you.
I wish I was 53. But, it's older than me. Dennis
don't
is...
rub it in, Dennis.
Okay, it was your birthday. How old are you now?
I don't want to say over the air.
Why not?
I don't know.
Because people think you're 28?
Yeah, I'm younger than 50, but older than 20.
You know, Dennis is like, my kids still listen to Maddie in the Morning on the FM dial. And I listen to him in high school, and I tell them that. And they go, well, how old is he? I go, he's like 65. But he still sounds young,
and he's still making $2 million a year being on radio.
Why we can get away with it on radio, because we can make ourselves, sound young. We just can't, stop the aging process.
Yeah, I don't think I can even make myself sound young, but the question I think may have been in the Boston Globe or something, but somebody said to me, they had a problem with the truck transmission that was shuttering, and they did the fluid flush and all this other stuff. And the torque converter, for people that don't know, between the actual physical part of the transmission and the engine, there's something called a torque converter. It acts sort of like the same thing a clutch would in a manual transmission. And what it does, the veins of the torque converter are designed to turn, and that develops hydraulic power that connects the engine to the transmission. So because of that, that's how it works. And at some time, the torque converter is actually designed to lock up and go into sort of direct drive to save fuel. And GM has had a lot of problems with torque converters in the past. And apparently some of these new 8-speed transmissions, the torque converter is very sensitive, and it can shudder and do some funny stuff. But I'm not even sure that the torque converter, I've talked to a few people that have had the transmission and the torque converter replaced and still have the same problem. So I think GM has an issue they haven't fully resolved yet. And it may be one of those things that is a characteristic problem, that the car has a characteristic of a shutter that they're not calling a problem. Well, it just does that. It shouldn't just do that. There's something wrong. So GM has to try to figure out how to fix it. So, Mr. Brooks, what do you have planned for the first day, first Saturday of...
You know, just keeping it going. Going to bring in the new year with some great Irish tunes with Matt and Billy and Johnny and Seamus tomorrow and get going on our 53rd year of bringing great music to not only Boston but throughout the whole world now with the stream. So
can I have a couple minutes of your show's time?
Absolutely.
Before we go on? Because Paul Gleason, the sales manager, just came in. Paul, go over there and say hi.
Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning. And I understand that, you know, as we're developing, to stay current with everything, Salem Digital Media can be really helpful for some of our advertisers.
Yeah, I think, you know, we don't talk a heck of a lot about it, but for quite some time, Salem has... Been working as a national player in the digital marketing space, so we're really more of a full service digital agency with, of course, you know, your show and the Irish Hit Parade and WEZE. But really, in the background, what you don't see is that we're working with thousands of businesses across the country and helping them out with their digital marketing, whether that be websites or social media or search engine marketing and all those fancy things that you hear about now.
Well, yeah, and I think when people say digital marketing, they kind of go, I don't have any digital stuff. What does that mean? for people who are a little unclear about what digital marketing means, can you kind of I think a lot of businesses today have Google for Business. They have a Facebook business page. They have certainly Twitter. Dennis and I were talking earlier about we have. Both of us, when we've had consumer problems, have had pretty good response rates when we tweet somebody directly. Is this the type of digital presence that you help some of the potential advertisers with?
Sure. I mean, certainly we would help people build those types of things if they didn't have the ability or they weren't familiar with it or know how to do it or so on. But if you want to put digital marketing to its simplest form, you know, as kids growing up, we... You know, if you wanted to find a good auto mechanic and you just moved into the town, you would open up a phone book, right? And
right.
That's what people used to do. And really what's happened is Google is the new phone book.
Oh, yeah.
About 67% of the people in the United States use Google to find things. So that's where it's at.
I will readily admit that when I get the phone book delivered to me, I walk it over to the recycling bin.
Yeah, I think you know, and the sad part about it is, unfortunately, 100% of those businesses have pretty much filed bankruptcy, the people that publish those books. But today, you know, what we pride ourselves in and are experts in is when people do searches for businesses, especially, you know, any type of service-related business, or it could be a lawyer, it could be a dentist, a doctor, it doesn't really matter. What our specialty is in making sure that when someone does a search for a particular type of business, that we can make our clients' businesses found. And so that's really what we do. And whether that be on Google or Facebook or Twitter, it doesn't really matter. So we do everything. We do it all, right, from building websites to having search engine marketing and digital marketing so that businesses are found every day. And like we said, that's basically taking the place of the phone books, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's great, and great to know that you're here to help. And if people want to get a hold of you or get a hold of Bob Brooks, how did they do that?
Absolutely. We're here to help. We can talk. We can answer questions. We can do audits of your digital presence. It doesn't cost a dime, and you'd be incredibly surprised how affordable it is to get your business found. And all you have to do is reach out to me at paulg@salemboston.com or Bobby at robertb@salemboston.com, And we'd be happy to help you out. We're here all the time, ready to help businesses. And just reach out. Don't be shy. There's no stupid questions here.
Unless I ask them. And people go, jeez. But anyway, we got to go. We're cutting into the Irish Hit Parade now.
Thank
so,
you, John. Thank you, Bobby.
Oh, absolutely. So coming up next, the Irish Hit Parade, filling in for our buddy Paul Sullivan, is Bob Brooks. Stay tuned for him. The very best in Irish music happens here every Saturday starting at 10 o'clock. Continues right till Sunday with Johnny Costello and our buddy Seamus. So always great Irish music here on AM 950 and 100.3 FM and the stream. Until next week, make sure you wear your seatbelt, drive safely, and be good to your car. Talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.